10:30 on the dot, which means we have to talk to Judy Kirkwood. She is a breastfeeding and lactation specialist, and she's with me today. And we are going to be talking about, you know, basically lactation and breastfeeding. Also, I have to mention, just a preface quickly, Judy is on the side of the field with her son watching a soccer game at this very current moment. So she's doing two things at once. Super mama. Super mama. She's say mean most or melanxy Veltestan in a to support her son and to still have time for an interview. Empowerment.
No, we have to. In celebration of World Breastfeeding Week, we've got to be excited. It's been such an amazing week. I've had just a wonderful time.
Judy, for to kick off Women's Month to do that, I mean, you screaming girl boss. It's literally girl boss energy. I love it so much.
It is. And I'm wearing pink. My pink is my trademark, Barbie pink. It's before the Barbie movie. That's how I roll.
It's so good to see. It's for those who don't know, it's breastfeeding week in the month of August. It's breastfeeding week. And Judy, I just want to know from you, what is breastfeeding week all about? What is it about this week specifically dedicated to breastfeeding?
Okay, so it's World Breastfeeding Week from the 1st to the 7th of August every year in the world. And it's basically a celebration about human life, about babies, infants, mothers, dads, partners, and the beauty of breast milk. And it's about kind of empowering parents. It's about sharing knowledge and stories and making heart connections. And for South African listeners, you might not know, but we only have a 32% breastfeeding rate in this country. So that means that only one in three babies actually breastfeeds to 6 months. Mm. So it's a very low statistic. And why is it a problem? Because we know that breast milk is perfect for babies.
Yeah.
But we also know that a lot of support that women get in hospitals, when I say women or families get, because I'm very partner inclusive in my practice, in my NPO, we work a lot with the dads and the partners.
Mm-hmm.
So like we know a baby is in the uterus and it grows beautifully and we trust that process, we need to, as South Africans, really trust that breastfeeding is the perfect food for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, World Breastfeeding Week is focusing on working moms. So moms going back to work, and how can we as a country support them to breastfeed and obviously to maintain breast milk, so to express at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously come back home and feed their babies.
Mm.
So something I have to tell your listeners, like breast milk can stand outside the fridge or in your little carrier bag that you take to work for up to 8 to 10 hours. So breast milk is a beautiful substance, and because of all the antibodies and all the amazing stem cells in breast milk, and it's live, it's like blood.
So yeah.
It's like, we call it white blood. It lasts, it's got a very long shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be in the fridge for 8 days. So as opposed to other milks that aren't breast milk, mm-hmm. they are not as secure and safe. And, you know, they're not as flexible. So breast milk is, it changes from the morning to the afternoon. Your milk, Taylor, and my milk will be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's genetically coded. You cannot replicate breast milk. So in all, because it's God's perfect milk, and it's species specific, so it's very like individual, if you know what I'm trying to say.
So it's really like
awesome medicine, and it's in South Africa, like with all this load shedding and unemployment, it is really we want to encourage moms. It's a really cool thing to do. It's a really smart thing to do, and in my practice, I work a lot with dads because I like to empower the dads on how they can assist their partners and their wives with getting good breast milk. And we often say lots of skin on skin helps to make milk. And mm-hmm. we say that massaging the breasts, and we say keeping the baby close and feeding often. All those things contribute to amazing breast milk, and they're free. So it's not about it's being aware and cognizant. South Africa, it's hard. Like times we have very high unemployment rates. But we want to know that every baby that comes into this country is given the best chance and the best start in life. And breast milk really helps us to achieve that. I'm not saying that I as a lactation consultant and midwife, I am very supportive of moms who struggle and moms who need support in building up milk supply. And so it's never a blaming game, but it is. We want to share. Like, there are amazing organizations throughout the country. This is a big shout out to the Lalesha League. That's a nonprofit. They give free information all over the country, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, where I am. I've got an NPO where I do a lot of work in Gauteng in the rural communities. And sorry, I'm walking away from the stuff. but it's kind of to say to your listeners, if you are having a baby and you are nervous or you're scared to try and breastfeed, give it a try. Reach out to lactation consultants, LACSA. It's a group of all of us in the country. We're all over.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us speak Afrikaans and English, and the Afrikaans word fasbate is such a perfect word for breastfeeding families, because it's sometimes the beginning is the hardest, and then obviously when you get going, it can be the most amazing journey. So it's kind of a shout out to celebrate, to acknowledge, and to give breastfeeding the space that it deserves, because in this country, there's a big push for marketing of breast milk substitutes. Mm-hmm. Billions of money gets spent on that. Yeah. And even though those products are okay, they're not breast milk,
mm-hmm.
and they never can be. But again, in my work in the communities, a lot of those products available to moms and dads are very expensive.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I see babies die because parents dilute substances, and you know, so you want to give breast milk for the first 6 months, and just breast milk. And we want to be kind to the mom and the dad, and we really we are here for you. So I later on will share all different resources with your listeners, so that they feel like they've got a network of support and they've got a circle of connection, because it's all about a circle is wonderful. When we make a circle, we allow more people to enter the circle and we give hope to each other.
That brings me to a question that I have. You mentioned that breastfeeding to 6 months of your child. What happens when you can only breastfeed for 3 months and your body stops producing milk? Is there methods to, you know, replenish breast milk supply and things like that? And also another thing on that, you know, surrogates, people use surrogates often, especially like, let's say, same-sex relationships, and they have breast milk donors. Does that also work for your child then? If you cannot supply your own milk, can you use a donor's milk?
Your questions are amazing. So absolutely. So we know that breast milk is, we like to use mom's own milk first.
Yes.
If mom's own milk isn't available or there isn't enough, we can absolutely, there are medications to take to help increase milk. But again, okay, so there are medical, there are prescription tablets to take, there are herbs that sometimes moms can take. But then again, these moms can also massage their breasts. I call a woman's breasts her girls or her ladies. So we always want to be kind as women for Women's Month. Our bodies, every breast is different. Every one breast is often bigger than the other. And we're all unique. And we've all been designed perfectly. And even though sometimes moms, they often say, Jude, I don't like this. I don't like my breast. I wish they were bigger. I wish they were smaller. But our job as consultants is to really work with and make it the best way possible. With surrogates, I deal a lot with surrogates and same-sex couples. And yes, then other women would maybe express the breast milk. So don't milk donors. That is a very wet nursing does exist in this country. Obviously, we want to make sure that the lady donating her milk is HIV positive. That's the only real request. And obviously, all milk is always tested that is given.
Mm-hmm.
But if if, say, I was stuck somewhere and my sister was breastfeeding, could my sister feed my baby? Absolutely.
Mm.
As long as you, as the parents, are comfortable with the person that is assisting you, that milk is amazing because it's mother's milk. It's breast milk. So it's we do work with all of that in the country. Women sometimes bond through adoption, so they will bond through latching. So we can induce lactation.
Mm-hmm.
So if a mom's never been pregnant and she adopts a baby, we can pump her breasts. We can give her a little program, and we can help build breast milk. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be. And we can also relactate. I have to let your listeners hear the story. But during COVID, there was a Johannesburg lady that came to me and she said, "Judy, my sister-in-law died of COVID diabetic complications."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I want to relactate for my nephew." And this lady worked with me and we bought back her breast milk after 12 years.
Oh my God.
It was the most amazing story. And she did this because she really believed in the providence and the beauty and the life-sustaining properties of breast milk.
Mm.
So the fact that this informed mother did this for her nephew was a gift that no money could buy, but it was a gift. It was a beautiful gift, and I was part of that journey. So for me, so I really believe that every child born in this country deserves breast milk for its brain and for its perfect body development, for emotional connections. But yes, we understand it's not always easy for every mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
and it sometimes can be hard. But then it's about joining with good systems and organizations. So it's making you aware today. There are people like me, lactation consultants that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And in Nepal and in the Western Cape area, I have lots of colleagues. So it's not about saying there is help throughout the country.
Yeah.
There is it's a collective network of individuals who have good, sound information. So breastfeeding is like driving a car. And most of us, when we drive a car, we don't just get in and drive to the beach. We have to obviously learn a few little steps.
Yeah.
What a big shout out to pregnant moms and breastfeeding moms. I've got a really cool song called Shark Latch. It's how I teach breastfeeding with a little rap song. Try to make it a bit fun, less medical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all available on TikTok and YouTube at Best Start Baby at my handles. And it's free because I've given it away because I believe that every mom and dad deserves to enjoy and be empowered on this journey.
Mm.
And I want to say to your listeners, I struggled in the beginning.
Yeah.
So ironically, I'm a registered nurse, midwife from Cape Town, studied there. And Auntie Judy, which I'm often known, I struggled and it was hard. And I was quite depressed and it was a journey. But I was very determined because I knew I knew that way to get help.
Yeah.
So I then obviously reached out to the correct people because sometimes doctors and nurses can not be helpful.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that I am a nurse, but I realize that when you know better, you do better.
Mm.
And there is a whole field of they call it lactologists, lactation out there. So it's a very exciting space. Anyway.
So it's another question. I have more questions because I'm thinking about this now because we see it obviously a lot of family members go through this or they struggle to get their baby to latch. But postpartum depression, is there a way when a mother comes to you with that, that prognosis that she has and she says that my body will not, produce milk for my baby? Can you help me in a sense of just help my body produce the milk, as you said. But another thing that
it's a good, so stress, we need to acknowledge. So this is where partners, men, dads, any partner, same-sex mm-hmm. partner, whatever, their role is massive in the journey of breastfeeding and the success of the story. Because if a mom is very stressed, which, let's face it, when you have a new child, it's quite overwhelming. It's not a dog. It's a live baby that mm-hmm. you've got to keep alive. And it's quite overwhelming. And a lot of men, so we've got to think more like men. I know that sounds, I know it's Women's Month, but I need men to try and put themselves in our shoes more and more. And one of the ways, if a mom is very stressed, it will affect breast milk volume. So if a mom is very stressed or goes through a trauma, her volumes can become very low. But how do we, but we can always bring them back. But we can, the answer is, and the hope is, we can bring them back. How do we bring them back? We put a heat pack. We put a hot flannel and a hot face cloth on the breast. We massage them. We get the partner to massage the back, massage the breast. We squeeze the breast. They're all free strategies. They cost no money. But often in the medical world and in this baby world, they're not often communicated with parents because they're considered quite simple. But remember, we're going to go back to simple is always best because, you know, your body will work and make milk, but then the latch has to be good. And also skin on skin. There's a lot of power in what is skin on skin. So the mom basically, and the dad, we do skin on skin with the partners, because skin on skin is very good for neurocognitive brain development, for bonding, for heart connections, for human connections. Humans are, as people, we are social beings. We love love and attention and warmth and contact. So skin on skin is a beautiful, so we say to the parents, undress your child, okay, in winter now, maybe open the baby grow or the romper, put little socks on baby, so you don't take off the pajamas or the little baby grow. Take the vest off, and then you basically just hold the baby close to your chest as the mom. So the mom's sitting there just with her pajamas unbuttoned in the front, and then you put a beautiful blanket over the mom and child to help calm them and to create a beautiful cocoon of love and warmth and connection. And we do this contact, this process with dads as well. So it's called skin on skin, kangaroo mother care. And once a day, if a mother just does that, takes the pressure off, is kind to herself, and just breathes in and out and has a cup of tea, that will help make breast milk. So it's cost nothing. It sounds maybe a little bit, but it's creating a psychological, we're trying to create that beautiful space to allow mom and baby and dad to, so I often say honeymoon with your baby. So that's very important.
Lastly, last question I have for you, Judy. I've actually learned a lot. I don't have kids, but like, you know, this, you know, YouTube parents, they show a lot and you learn a lot what you read and what you see. But for people who are scared to breastfeed, right, and like they are struggling to bond with their child and things like that, is there any way to encourage them besides, you know, doing the lactation practices and, you know, the massages? Is there any other way to get them to bond as well with their baby a little bit more for new parents that are scared?
Sure. And you know what? It's like I said earlier, it's okay to be scared, and it's okay. Sometimes medical people can forget that they were also parents. And I mean, when I did my first baby bath at Kruderskia Hospital in 1997, I thought the child was going to drown. I was so scared to hold, and the parents were watching me, and I was 18, and I was scared. But I realized the more I did it, and the more practice, it got better. So it is okay to not know what you're doing. But I also want your listeners to know that any amount of breast milk, whether it's one day, 1 year, 6 months, or even if you don't breastfeed, I do also support families who don't breastfeed. They choose to not breastfeed. My job is to be a professional and to provide support and guidance to meet you on your feeding needs. But I can say that with the right support and the right information, a mom and a dad can do very well. Breastfeeding doesn't have to be a bad, sore experience. I work with schools, with young girls, with young boys. In part, it's kind of allowing you to understand maybe what to expect when you have a child from a young age. So it's kind of, we're trying to change the way we talk about it, the discussions. It's just to create the awareness, if I could call it that. And it is to say to your listeners, please, look at best.baby, look at my handles, and it's just to say we're here for you, and keep an open mind. And if your first baby experience was tough, your second one is always going to be better, because the body is so cool. Like the human body. When I look at the human body, I just think, wow, what a machine.
Mm.
Every baby, every pregnancy that a mom has, there's more milk that comes out of the breasts. So if the first pregnancy, there wasn't a lot of milk, please, we know it's researched, it's hot off the press, there's more milk with every single pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So your experience is often a lot better.
Oh.
And it's not about judgment. If you had a hard experience, I'm sorry. Like, the health systems in this country, a lot of parents are booby trapped. And mm-hmm. when I use that word booby trapped, I mean they often walk in blind. The care and the support, they often, sometimes people are judged. It depends on the hospital and it depends on the nurse. But at the end of the day, we are all human. Yeah. So just to say, it's if you've been let down by systems. It's about when you know better, you do better.
Mm.
And it's about being kind to your body, giving yourself time. And really, to the dads out there, to the partners, you enjoyed making this baby, but your role, we are growing your son, who will be a little person of you. And we need dads and partners. We need your support in achieving a beautifully sort of grounded child for our country. Because I believe if we can improve our breastfeeding rates from 32%, which they currently are, 1 in 3 in the country, to 85%, this country would be so much stronger mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, because basically the body is on fire. You know, the body is in its best form. So basically, breast milk grows the brain, the heart, the lungs, the stomach, the cells of the skin, the best way.
Mm.
And nothing can ever take that away. And but yes, you might need help along the way, and that is okay.
Mm.
And you know what, and it's also a shout out to the grannies and the grandpas, because there's a lot of. Yes, in the olden days, people did things. But now, like, we've got better technology with cell phones and fiber. We know now, when we know better, we do better. So we know more about breastfeeding. So I've got my shark latch technique. We know more about skin on skin. We know more about bonding. We know, a parent can also bond through their baby, through baby massage,
mm-hmm.
through bathing with the baby. So if we're not breastfeeding, we can bond in. Massage, talking to the baby, looking at the baby. Eye contact is very, very, very important and very, very powerful. So we want to look at your child. Your child is not, they need connection. They need contact with the eyes. Massage is very important to stimulate and kind of for the body, for sensory development. So we do massages for sensory development, and I am a pediatric psychiatric nurse, so we're looking at growing obviously the parents on this journey and the child for pediatric the first 1,000 days. So I want to say to parents before they have babies, check out our sites. You don't want to only seek help when you've got a problem, because then the chances are of success. If you're very overwhelmed, your brain can't learn.
Mm.
So you always want to look at TikTok, YouTube. You want to look at good sites, which I will share, which we can maybe share on your site.
Yes.
But you want to look at those when you are just interested. As humans, we need to be for women this month. We need to be empowered, and we need to take ownership of our health. We need to check our girls being our breasts for development and for lumps. We need to look at our we need to look after ourselves, because we are parents for our children, And we want a stronger and more beautiful South Africa.
Definitely.
So it basically, the power is in our hands. We've just got to make the right choices. And sometimes we won't make the right choices, but it's about working towards, for me, I am obviously an advocate for breastfeeding, for child and family development, but it's really acknowledging that it can be a hard journey, but we can definitely do better. This country can absolutely do better. And it's about creating conversations like this on radio as well.
Judy, thank you so, so much. We've run out of time. I wish I could continue with this because it's very important.
But you can call me next time.
I think I should because it's very important to educate yourselves upon this. Not everybody's educated and not everybody knows.
Sure.
So to spread the word, even though it's World National Breastfeeding Week, only for a week, but you are breastfeeding beyond this week, beyond this year, and it's important. And Judy, you have educated me. I don't have children, but I think I know better for the future of when I do have children. So I want to thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you, my love. And thank you to your listeners. And we can talk about lots of things. We can talk about in the future. We can talk about male health and lots of things. Mental health, people, I love making human connections. I love people.
I'm keeping you on my speed dial. I'm putting you on my speed dial now. I think I need you now.
Okay, so whenever you need me, whenever you need me. And the Western Cape, I love the Western Cape.
It's a brilliant place. It's a happy place.
It is a happy day, Western Cape. And we're praying for you all with all this flooding and all of that.
Thank you so, so much.
Lots of love from my heart to you.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you.
This is KC 107.7.